My Bible is open to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, and I invite you to open a Bible with me back to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. If you can find 1 Chronicles 28, you will find where we are for the rest of our time together. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, hopefully there's one very close to you beneath the row of chairs in front of you. You might help children or grandchildren who are close by to turn back there. We won't have the scriptures printed on the screen behind me. I'd like you to read that with me in 1 Chronicles 28 in just a little while. If we could know what the last words of someone whose heart beat in harmony with God's heart were, how valuable would that be? We place a great deal of stock on the last words of people. We print them in newspapers. We commemorate them in books. We inscribe them on tombstones. We understand as human beings that last words are very significant. They carry significance for those who hear them. They give us a window into what was on the mind of someone at a time that is far from trivial. We understand that if someone understands they are near the end of their time on this earth and they have just a very short amount of time to communicate with those around them, most often those whom they love a great deal, those whose future they are very concerned about, those last words mean something. They carry great weight. As was already mentioned this morning, if you weren't able to join us this past week in our study of the life of David, and particularly not only historical chapters in his life, but also what it teaches us about having hearts for God, you missed a great opportunity. We would encourage you to use the CDs in the foyer, use the lessons that are already posted online, and go back and take full advantage of those very practical, very important lessons from God's Word. Jonathan only had so much time, so many opportunities, and so as a way of putting a bow on this important study, I'd like to study with you from 1 Chronicles 28 and 29. There are certain sections of Scripture that almost read just like a sermon, and you don't have to do much at all in walking through that and seeing connections for our own lives. That's what we want to do this evening, in listening to the last words of David, a man after God's own heart, and seeing what practical encouragements and wisdom we can glean from that. Begin reading with me, if you will, in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 1. 1 Chronicles 28, 1. David is a very old man. He has reigned for 40 years, four decades in Israel. And now he assembled at Jerusalem all the officials of Israel, the officials of the tribes, the officers of the divisions that served the king, the commanders and livestock of the king and his sons, together with the palace officials, the mighty men, and all the seasoned warriors. Then King David rose to his feet and said, "Hear me, my brothers and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God. And I made preparations for building. But God said to me, 'You may not build a house for my name, for you are a man of war and have shed blood.'" And already we've been taught a lesson, a very practical lesson, and one perhaps that we need to hear. This section of Scripture, this section at the end of David's life, conveys that even as a man after God's own heart, David was not able to accomplish everything that was in his heart. And odds are, you won't be able to accomplish everything that you have in your heart to accomplish. And I won't be able to accomplish everything that I have in my heart to accomplish. Those who are the most profound servants of God, they have a finite amount of time on this earth, and that time eventually comes to an end. And there are things that we would like to do, but as we learned last week, as Jonathan used the scriptures to show us, sometimes God's answer to our prayers, the most heartfelt prayers of all, are no, or not right now. And David had it in his heart, this Ark of the Covenant that had been there all of his life. He had it in his heart that he wanted that ark to be rested in a home, not a temporary tent that had been around since the days of Moses, but a home, a house in Jerusalem that David had founded as the capital of this great kingdom that God had bestowed to his reign. God's answer was no. We keep reading in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 4, he continues, in the hearing of all of these people, yet the Lord God of Israel chose me from all my father's house to be king over Israel forever. For he chose Judah as leader, and in the house of Judah, my father's house, and among my father's sons, he took pleasure in me to make me king over all Israel. Odds are, I probably won't be able to accomplish everything that I have in my heart to accomplish, but the most important opportunity I have during my time on this earth is to harmonize my will with God's will. David is a very old man at this point. He's been king of Israel for 40 years. And now he wants these people to understand that a very real part of his journey through this life has been learning in the highest of highs and the lowest of lows how to harmonize my heart with God's heart. If you want that in living color, by God's grace and in his providence, it's the book of Psalms. You've heard me many times before encourage you to spend significant time in the book of Psalms. You want to know how to harmonize your will with God's will. You want to know in good times and in bad, when the sun is shining and when you're in the darkest of valleys, how to harmonize your will with God's will. Thank God that he used David and servants like him to provide the book of Psalms. Keep reading with me in verse 5. And of all my sons, David says, for the Lord has given me many sons. He has chosen Solomon, my son, to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. He said to me, it is Solomon, your son, who shall build my house and my courts. For I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. I will establish his kingdom forever if he continues strong in keeping my commandments and my rules as he is today. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, observe and seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance to your children after you forever. The most important opportunity I have during my time on this earth is not to become the king of a nation, not to live in a palace, not to accumulate more than I can spend. The most important opportunity I have is to harmonize my will with God's will. And then we learn from verses 5 through 8, the most important legacy I can leave is a foundation of faith for the coming generation. That's what's on the mind of this man after God's own heart. I am going the way of all of the earth, And now Solomon is going to begin to reign. And did you notice how in the hearing of all of these rulers, all of these great men, all of these mighty warriors, David makes it personal. Not only is David seeking to leave a legacy of faith, but he is encouraging the people around him. Realize we might leave behind wealth. We might leave behind land. We might leave behind a walled city. But that's not the most important legacy we can leave. The legacy that matters most is a legacy of faith. If there is a heartbeat to this message, I would suggest to you it's 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. Let's read it slowly. First of all, the first section, 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. And you, Solomon my son, know the God of your father and serve him. You picture Solomon hearing that, not reading it, but hearing it from the mouth of his own father. And you imagine what it was like to be Solomon listening firsthand to the accounts of David's life that we've spent so much time this past week studying. Hearing from the mouth of the one who went into that valley with a brave heart and stared the Philistine giant Goliath in the eye. Hearing from the mouth of the one whose heart was so tender, so passionate in his service for God. Hearing from the mouth of the man whose heart was so respectful about how hard it was to run from King Saul for so very long. Solomon has heard those stories from the mouth of his own father, and now Solomon is coming face to face with this reality. What an immeasurable blessing to be raised by a man with a heart after God. Wonderful thing. A legacy of faith is priceless. But the time comes when I must make my faith my own. David is encouraging Solomon to do that. Verse 9, you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. God demands my whole heart and my willing mind. Solomon is going to grow to expand the borders of this nation farther than they have ever been expanded. The Queen of Sheba will come from Egypt to listen to what Solomon has to say. His counsel will be sought, wisdom in the most difficult cases imaginable. Solomon will make gold as common as copper and iron in Israel. But it doesn't mean a thing if his whole heart is not God's and his mind is not willing to follow God's lead wherever that lead may go. Whom I will serve during my time on this earth is my choice. It was not a choice that David could make for Solomon. It was not a choice that Solomon could make for Rehoboam, and on and on and on it goes. A legacy of faith is priceless, but the time comes when I've got to make my own mind up whom I will serve. David wants to make sure that Solomon understands God deserves and God demands your whole heart and a willing mind. You've got to decide who's going to be the real king in Israel. We continue in verse 9. You, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. It's been 3,000 years since those words were spoken. According to Peter, it might as well have been 3 days. God hasn't changed. God searched Solomon's heart just as surely as he searched David's heart just as surely as he searches your heart and my heart this evening. He understands every plan. He understands every thought. Let's realize at the beginning of this week that he is graciously making available to us, no matter who I am, if I am king in Israel or just an ordinary person in 2015 Central Ohio, I can't hide anything from God. We continue on in verse 9. This Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. If I seek God, God is a source of wonderful assurance. Again, we have dozens of psalms that teach us that lesson. As long as my whole heart belongs to God and I am seeking him with a willing mind, this is a wonderful source of assurance. He's there. He's not hiding from me. I can't hide from him. He is the greatest reality in the universe. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Would you take a moment and think about how hard that would be for a father to say to his own son? But would you also appreciate with me how important it is that our children hear that from someone? And if there is anyone who has the responsibility to give that voice, it's parents. God knows everything. He knows every plan. He knows every thought. If you seek him with your whole heart and a willing mind, he will always be with you. And I love you, but you need to understand that if you forsake him, he is a terrifying reality. He is a terrifying reality that I can't hide you from, that I can't shield you from. No matter how much I love you and how much I would hope to keep you from his wrath, he is the greatest reality in the universe. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. And so now in verse 10, be careful. Be careful, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. It can't get any more current or practical than that. I must be careful with my God-given time and wisely seek to accomplish his will for my life. That is at the very heart of what this father is telling his son. You only have a certain amount of time, and it's going to go by so quickly. David, just as surely as the old among us would say, it has gone faster than I could possibly imagine. It seems like just last week in some ways that I came into that valley and defied the pagan giant of the Philistines. And now I turn around and it's been 40 years that I have been king in Israel. And I know that my time on this earth is coming to an end. And so I want you to hear, be careful. The time that you have is given by God. Wisely seek to accomplish his will for your life. Be strong, he says at the end of verse 10, and do it. Let's realize that Solomon is the wisest man, according to Scripture, that will ever walk the face of the earth other than the Son of God himself. Solomon provides some of the greatest words of wisdom this world has ever seen. People recite his wisdom without even knowing that it's from Solomon in the heart of the Bible. It lives on for 3,000 years. But this father wants his son to understand. It's one thing to have incredible head knowledge. And it's one thing to give lip service to how great God is. But head knowledge and lip service are no substitute for taking action. doing the right thing, refusing to do the wrong thing when God has made his will clear. David has communicated everything that he knows that can shape the mind of this son, and now he says, be strong and do it. Solomon, you're going to have to make the choice. Keep reading with me in verse 11. Then David gave Solomon his son the plan of the vestibule of the temple and of its houses, its treasuries, its upper rooms and its inner chambers, and of the room for the mercy seat. And the plan of all that he had in mind for the courts of the house of the Lord, all the surrounding chambers, the treasuries of the house of God, and the treasuries for dedicated gifts, for the divisions of the priests and of the Levites, and all the work of the service in the house of the Lord, for all the vessels for the service in the house of the Lord, the weight of gold for all golden vessels for each service, the weight of silver vessels for each service, the weight of the golden lampstands and their lamps, the weight of gold for each lampstand and its lamps, the weight of silver for a lampstand and its lamps, according to the use of each lampstand in the service, the weight of gold for each table for the showbread, the silver for the silver tables, and pure gold for the forks, the basins, and the cups, for the golden bowls and the weight of each, for the silver bowls and the weight of each, for the altar of incense made of refined gold and its weight, also his plan for the golden chariot of the cherubim that spread their wings and covered the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Notice what we're told in verse 19. All this he made clear to me, David says, in writing from the hand of the Lord, all the work to be done according to the plan. And it's been 3,000 years, but the principle still stands. God glorifying work accords with the God-given plan. David understands this house is the house of the Lord. This is about worshiping God. When Israel forgot that is when they went through their darkest periods, when they refused to turn, was when eventually, hundreds of years later, this magnificent house of the Lord would be completely razed to the ground. It is a principle that David understood, that he wanted Solomon to understand, and it is a principle that you and I must understand. The church belongs to God. We have been invited to participate in the work of God. Worship is about God. Therefore, the principle stands. God glorifying work accords with the God-given plan. You and I have that. In the New Testament. We keep reading in verse 20. Then David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and courageous and do it. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. And behold, the divisions of the priests and the Levites for all the service of the house of God. And with you, in all the work will be every willing man who has skill for any kind of service. Also the officers and all the people will be wholly at your command. When we build our lives on the rock of God's revelation, we are not building alone. David says, Solomon, the Lord will not forsake you if you remember that God-glorifying work must accord with the God-given plan. And so in verse 1 of 1 Chronicles 29, David the king said to all the assembly, Solomon, my son, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great, for the palace will not be for man, but for the Lord God. So I have provided for the house of my God, so far as I was able, the gold for the things of gold, the silver for the things of silver, and the bronze for the things of bronze, the iron for the things of iron, and wood for the things of wood, besides great quantities of onyx and stones for setting, antimony, colored stones, all sorts of precious stones and marble. Moreover, in addition to all that I have provided for the holy house, I have a treasure of my own of gold and silver. And because of my devotion to the house of my God, I give it to the house of my God. 3,000 talents of gold. One talent of gold is estimated to have been 75 pounds. David says, I'm giving 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver for overlaying the walls of the house and for all the work to be done by craftsmen, gold for the things of gold and silver for the things of silver. Who then will offer willingly, consecrating himself today to the Lord? Then the leaders of fathers' houses made their free will offerings, as did also the leaders of the tribes, the commanders of thousands and of hundreds, and the officers over the king's work. They gave for the service of the house of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. And whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord in the care of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly. For with a whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord. David the king also greatly rejoiced. 3,000 years later, there is still great joy to be found in giving willingly to the glory of God. Isn't it true in your experience that the most joy-filled people are the people who give the most? Try and appreciate how many generations after this were blessed by the temple because this generation joyfully, willingly gave. And then think with me this evening about the shoulders that we're standing on this evening of men and women who have gone before us. And what we enjoy and the opportunities we have because they willingly and joyfully gave. Let's not take that for granted. In verse 10, therefore David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. And David said, blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. Not very many kings in human history have reigned for 40 years and still talk about God like that. He continues in verse 14. He's reigned for 40 years, but he asked, who am I? And what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. For we are strangers before you and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things. And now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people and direct their hearts toward you. Grant to Solomon, my son, a whole heart that he may keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, performing all, and that he may build the palace for which I have made provision. David is a very old man, but at the end of his life, he realizes, and he is preaching and trying to get everyone within earshot of his voice to understand there is only one true king in Israel. Even this very evening, there is only one true sovereign Lord over all time. Whether we're talking about the days of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, or David and Solomon, or you and I in 2015. Lord, the Lord is sovereign over all time, over all space. The cattle on a thousand hills belong to him. Everything, including me and including you. Verse 20, then David said to all the assembly, bless the Lord your God. And all the assembly blessed the Lord, the God of their fathers, and bowed their heads, and paid homage to the Lord and to the king. And they offered sacrifices to the Lord, and on the next day offered burnt offerings to the Lord, 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs with their drink offerings. And sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. And they ate and drank before the Lord on that day with great gladness. What do you think it must have meant for David, now a very old man, having issued this challenge, to watch the next day as Israel offered 3,000 animals in sacrifice to God? They made Solomon, the son of David, king the second time, and they anointed him as prince for the Lord, and Zadok as priest. Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king in place of David his father, and he prospered, and all Israel obeyed him. All the leaders and the mighty men and all the sons of King David pledged their allegiance to King Solomon, and the Lord made Solomon very great in the sight of all Israel and bestowed on him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel. Thus David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel. Here, in a sense, is the obituary. The time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. Then he died at a good age, full of days, full of riches, full of honor. And Solomon, his son, reigned in his place. Now the acts of King David from first to last are written in the Chronicles of Samuel the seer, and in the Chronicles of Nathan the prophet, and in the Chronicles of Gad the seer, with accounts of all his rule and his might and of the circumstances that came upon him and upon Israel and upon all the kingdoms of the countries. He was not a perfect man. We've learned that this past week. But if his last words teach us anything, surely they teach us that if we have been a blessing to God and a blessing to others, our time on this earth will have been well spent. Did you notice his last recorded words? Bless the Lord your God. What could you come up with at the end of your time on this earth that's more significant than that? To have reached a good old age, full of days, and to be able to look back and realize God has been a blessing in my life that I cannot possibly put into words. David wrote dozens of psalms and couldn't completely convey, just with human words, what a blessing God had been. And now David, at the end of his life, blesses the Lord. And he encourages those around him. Bless the Lord your God. If that is what your life is about, you won't have spent your time perfectly. There will have been very high highs and very low lows. That is why you need the heir of David, a Savior, Jesus the Christ. But if the drumbeat of your life, if when it is all put into one paragraph at the end, he blessed the Lord, she was a blessing to the Lord, he and she encouraged others with their mouths, by their actions. Bless the Lord your God. Your time on this earth will have been well spent. And so I ask you this evening, do you need to respond to the God of David? There were very real times in David's life that he wandered far away. And he needed to come face to face with the fact, if I seek God with my whole heart, he will never forsake me. But if I forsake him, I've made the biggest mistake of my life. Maybe you've walked with the God of David for some time in the past, but you know you're not walking with him right now. And if there's some way that you need publicly to make that right, if we can be of corporate encouragement to you, pray with you and for you, the same God lives and reigns this evening. If you've never responded to this God that we're reading about this evening, would you rejoice this evening in the fact that even 3,000 years later, he's still patient? And he's still seeking those who are willing to give him their whole hearts and serve him with a willing mind. If you're willing this evening to ask the most important question of all, what must I do? And listen to the God-breathed answer. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Do you need to answer that call even this evening? It's not too late. The opportunity is a priceless opportunity. And if we can be of help, would you let us know how by coming to the front while we stand and sing?